How reliable are the textbooks in our schools? Hello, and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Roy White. He is the director of an organization called Truth in Textbooks. Their website is truthintextbooks.com. Mr. White, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Newcomb. It's a pleasure, and thanks for your listeners for dialing in.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, let me say this. About 30 years ago or 25 years ago, I went and interviewed Mel and Norma Gabler, and I did that for D. James Kennedy Ministries, where I'm still gainfully employed in their television program. And they were talking all about the textbooks, and these were people who had been on 60 Minutes, but they kind of were made fun of on 60 Minutes, but still, the fact of the matter is, you know, their work was so important, it was highlighted in that kind of outlet. Am I to understand you're kind of picking up where they've left off?
Well, a lot of folks laughed at Jesus, too, when he first started talking, and Noah and a lot of other folks. But the Gablers were onto something then, and our DNA is connected with them because their follow-on, their protege, was a young man by the name of Neil Fry back in the 60s. And beginning shortly after that, he came on full-time, and he was the very first person I went and talked to out in Longview, Texas, when I began to research what are the best ways to go about reviewing social studies textbooks. So the Gablers laid the foundation for really what we're doing and for what they've been doing for so long. So we're honored to be associated with a great group like Neil Fry, an education research analyst.
You know, this is amazing you mentioned that. Longview, Texas. That was the first and only time I've ever been in Longview, Texas in my life. And
that makes two of us.
And you're based in Dallas, is that right?
Actually, I'm based outside of San Antonio, a little town called Burney, Texas, and that was our residence. But we've been all over the country. This has taken me around the country speaking, and God's message to me was to start this, and it's been quite a journey for me. We'll talk about that.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's ask the opening question: how accurate are the textbooks today?
It's a great question. There are portions of the textbooks that are very accurate. They do a great job of writing, but like everything else, oftentimes the devil's in the details. And when there's a political agenda to be had, whether we're talking about Israel, whether we're talking about tea parties, whether we're talking about our founding fathers, there's oftentimes, but almost 100%, there is a leftward lean in the textbooks where the progressives have inserted opinions disguised as facts and, quite frankly, have replaced a lot of the factual information with more of the modern-day progressive view of the various topics that we look at. And we look across the board. We don't focus on any one particular topic, but our volunteers do a great job of highlighting these errors. So the short answer is yes, their parents need to be concerned about it because there's a lot of inaccuracies.
All right, how about if we will kind of deal with, let's say, a potpourri of different issues, and you can just do them relatively quickly, and we'll just move on to the next one. But just to kind of give us an idea. All right, Jesus versus Muhammad.
For example, it says in the Admittedum World History book, Muhammad taught Muslims to be tolerant of people of the book. Well, that's clearly a portion of the Quran where he speaks very softly toward Jews and Christians, but for the vast majority and for the part that really matters, he speaks nothing but violence and those who do not follow his path, Muhammad and Allah, then those Jews and Christians are considered to be apes and pigs, specifically for the Jews. So in terms of Jesus, oftentimes the terminology that's used in the Bible or in the textbooks is the belief of the followers that this is what Jesus was. When it speaks about Allah or Muhammad, it states as if it's a fact. So there is a distinct difference between how Christianity or Jesus and Muhammad are covered. Other topics we cover are climate change. There's often almost 100% of the time when they talk about climate change, for example, they only talk about one side, that it's always man-made, and global warming is all a cause of man-made causes, never ever discussing this other side of the science coin that's out there. So those are just two very different examples, but again, misinformation, omission of facts, or half-truths that lead the young person into believing whatever the book says must be true. When I grew up, if it was in the textbooks, it must be accurate.
Wow. All right, the Pilgrims and the Puritans. Now, their contribution to civilization is far greater than even, you know, older people realize. I mean, for example, the biblical idea of covenant gave rise to the U.S. Constitution. The written contract with God as a witness, and then the signatories underneath. It's even the inspiration, frankly, of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. But the Pilgrims and the Puritans are often maligned, even, you know, in the textbooks I read 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, whatever. What about today, the Pilgrims and the Puritans?
Well, the Gabers would say, exactly as you said, the Puritans oftentimes were viewed as intolerant of not having any other views. In fact, that's not necessarily the case at all, and certainly never recognizing our founding fathers, the biblical-based foundations that our religious/ founding fathers had, never mentioning how many of them were pastors or ministers. They're always happy to talk about some of the secular views of Jefferson and a few others, Benjamin Franklin, but they never ever highlight those other elements that were so important, the Bible, other values that they had, Moses, Ten Commandments, so many other things. So those are never highlighted. For the simple reason, anything that would show America exceptionalism or this country is unique, that's not going to be shown in the textbooks. If anything, it's going to be shown as a negative because they were oppressive. It was a colonialism, and never any positives about capitalism or the individual freedoms. It was always the collective rights of the group that were more important. So, yeah, absolutely, those themes are prevalent. Just about doesn't matter who the publisher is, but some of the books are better than others. Some publishers do a better job, and we rate the books. Our volunteers review the textbooks. They read every textbook, and then that's the important thing, is we actually have people who read that, and then we put a grade on, kind of like an Angie's List. We put a grade that say either the books are good, acceptable, poor, or unacceptable, and we want the local school boards to understand that we don't want them to purchase the books that are poor or unacceptable. Purchase the books that are good or acceptable, and our volunteers spend hundreds of hours reviewing the books to collectively together, and that's why we're so powerful, is the fact that we are able to combine virtually online around the country these volunteers that I'm so, so grateful for.
Okay, so wait, I asked you about the Pilgrims and the Puritans, and you went on almost, well, pretty soon to discuss the Founding Fathers. So let me ask you this. As far as the Founding Fathers are concerned, 50 to 52 of the men who met in Philadelphia to write the Constitution, of the 55 men, 50 to 52 of them were members in good standing of Christian Trinitarian churches, important word there.
Yep.
And so is that ever brought out, that kind of stuff?
That's almost excluded completely, as well as the identification of why the different states started up the way they did. Many of them had a religious basis that they were home for various religious sects, Protestant faiths, but they were not exclusive, and they didn't exclude those, but they would never, ever identify those founding fathers that you just mentioned or others and how important their faith was. So, again, anything we can do to minimize faith and religion, the very elements that make up our Constitution and our way of life and make us so unique. And I think that's, or more importantly, even the Judeo-Christian values we share. The one of the things that the progressives have done through the years is they've taken out the simple hyphen between Judeo-Christian. That used to be a term you would see quite often in the textbooks. They've now separated that and made those two terms completely different, trying to put a line between Jews and Christians, that there was ever any connection between the very founding fathers and what we were looking at. So the Jewish law, Torah, those would never be recognized as anything that contributed to the founding of America.
Mm. That's amazing. All right. And by the way, you know, you mentioned Ben Franklin, that they highlight his skepticism and so forth. And yet Ben Franklin gave this impassioned speech on June 28, 1787 at the Constitutional Convention along the lines of "We need to pray." And a variation of his request was adopted, but I'm sure that never makes it into the textbooks. How about the evolution? How does that come out in the textbooks?
Well, since we review just social studies textbooks, it's not as prevalent in the textbooks we've come across from a social studies standpoint, but it does come up because, again, it's an opportunity to sell the Darwin theory and never, ever discuss, you know, creationism, because that would be anathema to thinking, oh, the earth is flat. We could never even have that discussion. So while it's not brought up a lot, the few times it is squeezed in, it's always squeezed in that vein. In science books, and we don't review science books, that's where you'll find that discussion much heavier, always weighted in the view of Darwinism and those types of areas. So yes, anytime they can squeeze in any discussions that fit their agenda, and that's to move that progressive agenda forward in changing the perception of our children's America. It's one of the reasons why our children do so poorly on history or Jimmy Kimmel. We all laugh when they interview people in the streets, and these young people, they don't know anything. It's not surprising they don't know anything. For the last 20 or 30 years, we haven't taught them the true facts.
It is amazing. How about the evils of communism?
Excellent question. We will see glowing reviews of Cuba and their free education system and free medical system. And yet, in a recent survey, when they asked millennials about who was Mao Zedong, who was Stalin, Lenin, most of the millennials had no clue who these people were, or if they did, how many people died under communism. They never identify the millions of people who have been killed under those regimes, and never ever talk about how many people have been freed because of what America has done through. So that contrast is there, and is there for a particular reason, and that's to make socialism, communism, a much softer version versus when I grew up. And that's one of the reasons why you can have Bernie Sanders gain such great traction in an election like in Washington State, where I think 60% of the people voted for Bernie Sanders. They don't teach anything about that would make anyone suspect of communism or socialism.
When you were saying earlier that you will give an Angie's List type grading for different textbooks, are most of them good? Are most of them acceptable? Are most of them inferior? What's the overall picture here?
I would say about a third of the books are good, or excuse me, acceptable. We have a few that are good. The vast majority of the books are poor or unacceptable. And our reviews at the end of that are done each person, and let me just share with your listeners, so if they want to get involved as they learn more, if they think, and we would love to have them come on and be a part of us, we would love for them to write to us at tnt.textbooks@gmail.com. If they'll write to us, it really doesn't, you don't have to have a social studies degree. Most of our volunteers are all people who are well-read, but they want to do something from their home. They can push back and be engaged locally, and that's what's exciting. And we put that grade on there so those local school boards can have an idea of the books that are good, acceptable, poor, or unacceptable. And we are developing now a list with some other groups that we will review that will be far more acceptable, that are written in a more traditional way, that highlight the important things in history versus and eliminate a lot of the political correct themes that are out there.
Okay, Roy White, truthintextbooks.com for more information. We have about 30 seconds to wrap up. When you say that the majority of the textbooks are inferior, does this include out-and-out blatant errors? You know, things like, oh, the American Revolution began in 1776, and reality began in 1775.
We have some of those obvious ones, but when you leave out significant American events, for example, it's the omission of facts, when you don't even mention walking on the moon, of the significant event showing how American exceptionalism, or the Battle of the Bulge, or the World War II heroes, Vietnam, when you leave out that information, you're obviously doing whatever you can to make America less great and promoting a different agenda. But thank you so much for having me on today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you. Truthintextbooks.com. All the best. Bye-bye now. Thank you.
Goodbye.